Yes, Job chapter 8 is where we're at. We've been going through Job on Sunday mornings. I know the last couple weeks kind of deviated a little bit, but trying to make our way through the book of Job. And that's the way we've been doing, really, Sunday school, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. Just going through books of the Bible, I think it does a couple things. I think it helps us understand the context of verses in the Bible, so you understand where things are at and why they're there. And it also gives us some guidelines and just a way of going through the Bible just succinctly and orderly. Job chapter 8, I'll probably read some of these verses and then explain what's going on, and we're going to make an application at the end of this. But there is so much in these, so much flowery language and so many illustrations when these conversations are happening between Job and his three quote-unquote friends here. But let's read a few verses. This is a guy named Bildad who is accusing Job, and really he's just slandering Job. I'll read a few verses. I'll give you some context of what's going on if you need to be caught up with it. So we'll give you some context here. But Job chapter 8, verse 1, and I'll say, the Lord takes man's words very seriously because they're an expression of your heart. And one of the things that said in Matthew, he says, every idle word will be given account of. Every idle word. That's conversations you probably don't even remember. And so there is, God takes these words very seriously. He takes your words seriously. He takes my words seriously. And because they're an expression of what's on the inside. And Job chapter 8, verse 1, Bildad is one of Job's three friends, you could say quote-unquote friends, who comes to give Job some comfort in his trouble here. But instead of giving him comfort, he's going to accuse Job just like Eliphaz accused Job, just like the other guys are going to accuse him. Job chapter 8, verse 1 says, "Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, How long wilt thou speak these things? How long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind?" You ever heard the phrase, the guy's full of hot air? All right, that's where you got that. From an 1700 BC. That was a phrase back then, apparently. So it's not a new thing. It's right out of the Bible. Bildad says, how long shall the words of thy mouth be like strong wind, accusing Job? He says, doth God pervert judgment, or doth the Almighty pervert justice? If thy children have sinned against him, and he have cast them away for their transgressions, if thou wouldest seek unto God betimes and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. All right, real simple. What Bildad is saying is what Eliphaz told Job is, you're having a bunch of problems in your life, number one, because your kids are sinners, that's why they're all dead. Number two, if you were right with God, then you wouldn't have trouble. And that was the philosophy. And so let's pray, and I'm going to talk to you about Bildad's slander here, but I'll get you caught up on how we got to this point in the book first. But let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you'd help us get what we need out of these words that are your words. Father, we need to hear from you, and I pray, Lord, I wouldn't get in the way of that. I pray you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd help me. Lord, help us get fed by you. Help us apply what needs to be applied, and Lord, that we would consider things that come out of our mouths and then also see it in from your perspective and the consequences of those things. They don't just go away. Father, thank you for everybody that's here this morning. I pray each soul here would get a blessing from you, Lord, get something from you. For those that are traveling, Lord, that you'd give them safety and traveling. And Lord, for Barry, that you'd help him feel a little bit better. And for the doctor's appointments coming up this week, Father, that those would all go well. And Lord, thank you again for this opportunity. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so how do we get to this point? So if you remember back in the beginning of Job, Job is an upright man. God says he's a perfect man. He fears God and gets away from evil, eschews evil. And the devil shows up before God and decides he's looking for prey. He's been walking around on the earth looking for prey. And God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Because Job's a good man and all that, and he's going to really put Job's faith on trial, but he wants to show the devil that, you know, the devil isn't the king of everybody, that God has some people that love him, actually. And so, anyhow, all that said, God gives permission to the devil to, number one, on the first round of temptation, to take everything Job has. And that's what the devil does. He says to the devil, the Lord says to the devil, he says, everything that belongs to Job is in your hands, just don't touch his body. And so the devil immediately, just like a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour, he goes after Job. He's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he goes after Job's possessions and family. He destroys Job's businesses. He takes all his cattle, all his herds, and the devil sends in a hurricane or a tornado, it says a whirlwind, and he knocks the houses down that the kids are in, that Job's 10 kids are in, and he kills all the children. And so Job suffers this terrible emotional trouble where he's lost literally everything. I mean, everything. He's lost kids, all his children, all his possessions, everything has been lost. Then round two comes, and Job hasn't cursed God yet. He still doesn't curse God. And the Lord says to the devil, "Have you considered my servant Job? He's upright, and he won't curse me, no matter what you do to him." And the devil says, "Okay, well, skin for skin, everything that a man, you know, that he is, his body, he'll if you put him under some pressure, if you make him feel pain." Physical pain, he'll give in. And so the devil gives Job boils all over his body, so he is so uncomfortable he can't sleep. He is surrounded by trash. His possessions have been wiped out. He doesn't have food to eat. He's just eating stuff he wouldn't have even touched before. And now he is filled with boils from head to toe in utter discomfort. And the Bible says, but Job didn't curse God then either. He still didn't curse God. And after those two temptations, Job says, I just wish I could just die. What is the point? I've lost everything. I've lost all my children. I've lost everything I have. What is the point of living anymore? And so he just wishes he could die. And then these friends show up, and Job's wife also says, you know, curse God and die. And that was the big thing, was to curse God. And so Job never does it. These three friends show up, and for a week they sit around, and they're just there to kind of provide Job some moral support. And then after a week, these friends start to talk. And it would have been fine if they would have stayed quiet. But they had to insert their opinions about what's going on. And so, you know, we talked about that. You know, there's not always something to say. You know, there's just not always something to say. And these guys did great the first 7 days of just keeping their mouths shut and just showing up. But after that, then they start to talk. And in their minds, they cannot reconcile the amount of suffering this man has been through and him being a righteous man or a good man. So the only thing that these three friends can figure is, Job, you've got some secret sins or something's wrong between you and God. This is why this thing is just falling apart. Because God doesn't let this happen to people. He doesn't let bad things happen to good people. He doesn't allow these things to happen. And so he would have protected you. He would have made you prosperous. But the only reason you're in the position you're in, Job, is because you're a terrible person. What a bunch of friends. And so here's Bildad. He's the second guy to talk. A guy named Eliphaz talked earlier in Job and accuses Job. And Job defends himself. Now, Bildad's going to insert his opinion. And what you're going to find for most of these chapters in Job, it's back and forth. It's one guy arguing and then Job trying to defend himself. And so here's the slander of it. Here's what Bildad says. First of all, it sounds good. Verse 3, doth God pervert judgment or doth the Almighty pervert justice? No, he doesn't do that. Verse 4, if thy children have sinned against him and he have cast them away for their transgressions, if thou wouldest seek unto God betimes and make thy supplications to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. So Bildad's first accusation is based on God's justice. He says, God is just, and the only reason you're suffering is because God is just, and he's just balancing the scales. You've obviously been bad. Your kids have been bad. That's why they're all dead. And you're obviously a bad person somewhere. But none of these guys have any particular thing that they can point to. They're just saying Job's bad because bad things happen to him. Now, try to apply that to the life of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ, was he bad? No, he's not bad. Did bad things happen to him because he was an evil person? No. In fact, bad things happened to him because he was paying the price. He paid the price for your sins and for my sins. So bad things do happen to, you can say bad things happen to good people. But Bildad's accusation, God's just, obviously he's just balancing the scales here. Then he says this, based on tradition. He says it's always been this way. God's always dealt with people this way. He's always dealt badly with bad people, and he's dealt good with good people. It's always happened this way. So he says in verse 8, for inquire, I pray thee, of the former age. Prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee and utter words out of their heart? Point is, it's always been this way. This is the way we've always done it. Job, you obviously are a bad person, a sinner, who God is just getting back at. Then he says this. He accuses Job of being cut off because he's a hypocrite. And I'll tell you what these guys are with Job. When they start accusing Job, it's not because put it this way. These guys are envious of Job. They're envious that Job has been blessed the way he's blessed. And it's just like if somebody you really didn't like that much, had a lot of stuff, had a lot of wealth, and then one day it all came crashing down and you would jump right in and say, yep, I knew it. That's God getting back at that guy. That's how God's getting back at him. That's these guys. They look at Job, they're envious of Job, and now Job has lost everything, and they show up to say, yep, we knew it all the time. You're a hypocrite. You're a liar. You say you profess your goodness and all this stuff, or you're helping people only because you want to be something that you're not. And so Bildad's argument's going to be, you're being cut off, Job, because you're just a hypocrite. Verses 11 through 14, and he uses really flowery illustrations to describe this stuff. It says, can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? While it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. So he's just describing a creek or something that dries up, and all those plants that grew up inside that water, now the creek's dried up, and now there's no water, and these things are just dying. And he says, that's how someone who forgets God, that's their life. They forget God and their lives just dry up. And so that's Bildad's argument. That's true. In some cases, that's true. But not with Job here. Verse 15, he says Job's life is fake. Verse 15, he shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. It's like he's built a cardboard house. Fake, it's just a facade. There's nothing there. He says, Job, your life is fake. This is why it's falling apart. You're just a hypocrite. Can you imagine? This guy is supposed to be his friend. And after losing all his children, losing everything he has, having boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, living in discomfort, trying to get a good night's sleep. I'm sure some of you are familiar with that, trying to get a good night's sleep. You can't get a good night's sleep. You're tired, you're hurt, you're in pain. And now these guys are just saying, well, this has happened because you're just bad. You're wicked. Obviously, because God doesn't do this to good people. God doesn't treat people like this. So that's Bildad's argument. Job, your life is just a fake. It's a facade. And they say that out of spite. They say that because they were envious of Job. Bildad is he's just a slanderer. He has no idea what's going on here. And I think if Bildad had known the first two chapters of Job and known behind the scenes, maybe he wouldn't say the things he's saying. I'm pretty sure he wouldn't. Verses 16 through 20, Bildad argues that if Job were such a good person, God wouldn't have uprooted him. It says in verse 16, he's green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the place of stones. You ever pulled up a plant out of the ground? You pull it up, and the roots are, you know, clinging to the ground there. Just describing something that just got uprooted. And he's likening that to Job's life. He says, God just uprooted you because you're wicked, Job. That's why he's uprooted you. That's why this stuff is happening to you. Verse 18, if he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. Just be forgotten. I think it's interesting in verse 16, just a little side note here, amidst all this slander, you've got a description of photosynthesis. I don't know when photosynthesis was supposedly discovered, but here it is in 1700 BC being described. He said he's green before the sun. That's greenness, that's the sun, that's photosynthesis at work. That's something, you know, again, the farther you go back in human history, the smarter people are. The more we go forward, the more ignorant and foolish we get. These guys aren't dumb folks. I know I've said it every time, but these guys aren't dumb folks living in caves. These are intelligent people. Bildad's just slandering Job, though. What's the folly in all this? Well, here's an interesting note. You know, Bildad had said that God never dealt with anybody like this. This is the first time, Job, and if you're the exception to the rule, this would be the first time injustice had happened in the earth. Really? The first time injustice happened in the earth? You know who Job, his uncle, well, I'll show it to you in a minute. You guys remember a fellow named Joseph in the Bible? Remember Joseph? Anybody remember what happened to Joseph? Yeah, he's sold into slavery. For 13 years, he's in prison. He gets accused of sexual assault with some high-ranking wife. And he goes further down into prison. And he stays in prison for 13 years. Now, you know who Job is? Job is his nephew. Let me show you something. Look over in Genesis chapter 46. Genesis chapter 46. And verse 13. Joseph had a brother named Issachar. Genesis 46, verse 13. It says, and the sons of Issachar, Tola, and Phuva, and Job, and Shimron. Job is Joseph's nephew. So you're trying to tell a fella that injustice never happens in the world. Job's uncle was a product of injustice that God would use after time. But during the time he's in prison, during the time Joseph's in prison, people think he's guilty, he's just a criminal, he's just a crook, just a bad person, until Joseph becomes second only to Pharaoh in Egypt. And then what God was going to do, and God was using the bad circumstances to produce something good, now it's obvious, now it becomes clear after a few years what God's going to do with that. One of the problems Bildad has is he doesn't give God enough time. He sees the bad things happening and he immediately makes a judgment. Well, bad things happen, that means you're a bad person. The Bible says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it's folly and shame unto him. And Bildad fails to give God time. And here he is lecturing Job on injustice. Job's uncle was a product of injustice that God would end up blessing over time. Bildad's folly twofold. He answers a matter before he hears it. He doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't give God time to work. Now, here's the consequences. I know this will be a short lesson today. But you've got Bildad who slanders Job. He doesn't give God time to work this thing out. And if you don't know the end of the book of Job, then it looks pretty bad. It really does. But look over in Job chapter 42, and we're going to make an application to this. Make a couple of them. Job chapter 42. In verse 7. Bildad, he speaks before he knows what's going on, and he claims to speak for God, but he doesn't give God time to work. And so the Lord is going to, there's going to be consequences, and here's the application to this. There's going to be consequences to laying blame where God doesn't lay blame. There's going to be consequences for Bildad because he's spoken out of turn. He said some things that aren't true, although it sounded good, but it doesn't apply to Job. He hasn't given God enough time to work the thing out that he wants to work out. He's rushed to judgment. He's answered the matter before he hears it, and so here's the consequences. And this is what I said at the beginning. The Lord takes what you say very seriously. Particularly what you say about someone else. Someone that you may not like. Maybe you don't like this other person. Maybe they've got more money than you have. Maybe they've got more things than you have. And then you see something happen in their life and it's a tragedy and they lose some things and you say, yeah, now I know God got them. Maybe God didn't get them. Maybe your enemies aren't God's enemies. Ever thought about that? Maybe because you don't like them doesn't mean God doesn't like them. So here's what God does with Bildad. Verse 7. And it was so, Job 42:7. It was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. Bildad's included here. For ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Therefore, here's the consequences. Take unto you now 7 bullocks, 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right like my servant Job. So here's the consequences of Bildad's slander. Number one, he speaks out of turn, and he claims to speak for God, but he doesn't. And God gets really mad at him for that. How does that translate into Bildad's life? Bildad's going to have to go to the man that he slandered and make amends. Uh-oh. God said, all right, you have spoken against my servant Job. You've slandered him. You've accused him. And I haven't accused him. He hasn't done anything wrong. Therefore, you go back to Job and you try to make amends. Here's the thing. If Job doesn't want to make amends with you, that's his business. If he does, then I'll hear from Job, but I'm not going to hear from you anymore. Cut off. He makes God mad. God says, you go make amends with the man you slandered, or woman, make an application. The consequences are, until you make amends, I'm not listening to you anymore. I don't want to hear your prayers. I don't want to hear you talk to me. I don't want to hear you ask favors of me. I don't want to hear your voice anymore until you go make amends with the guy that you accused. And until you do that, I'm not listening. He said, so take these bullocks and take these animals. Take them to Job, offer them, and if Job wants to make it right, that's his business. If he doesn't make it right, I'm not listening to you anymore. Now consider, all that because a guy got a little head in his judgment. And really more than that, he sees a man who is completely beat down, emotionally, physically beat down. And like we said before, he just picks up, Bildad just picks up where the devil left off, and he accuses, and he accuses, and he thinks he's got the right interpretation of the situation, and he claims to speak for God, but he hadn't given God time to work the thing out yet. And God says, because you did this, I don't want to hear from you. I want to talk to you. You go make this right with Job, and until you make it right, I'm not listening. Now, how many times have I rushed to judgment on somebody before we knew what the situation actually was? Rushed to judgment before we gave God time to work the thing out? You rush to judgment on something, you say some things, and I just wonder. Because he talks about this in the New Testament too. He says, before you bring your offering and all that stuff, he says, go to your friend or whoever, get forgiveness, all that kind of stuff, then bring your offering. I just wonder how many prayers have fallen on deaf ears because we rush to judgment, because we're quick to accuse, because we... And maybe it's somebody you just don't like. And we think, just like Bildad thinks, if I don't like him, God obviously doesn't like him either. You know your enemies aren't God's enemies. There's a lot of people God loves that you may hate. there's a lot of people God may be using that you may not like. Bildad rushes to judgment, but I want you to understand the seriousness of this between the Lord and Bildad. God says, because you've done this, if you don't make this thing right, I don't want to hear from you anymore. I'm not interested in your words. I'm not interested in your prayers. I'm not interested in what you're asking me of. You go make this right with Job. You beat a man down who is already down. You beat him up. You accused him. And you claim to speak for me, and you weren't speaking for me. You were just speaking out of turn. He that, what does he say, before he hears a matter, cast judgment before you hear the matter, that's Bildad. Fortunately, Bildad will get this thing right, but you understand the consequences. God takes these things very seriously. Bildad ran the risk of living on without the ability to ever speak to the Lord again in prayer. You know what sometimes we say? Sometimes we say things like, well, as long as you've got breath, there's still you still got an opportunity. Bildad didn't have any opportunity until he got the thing right. God had cut off his opportunity until he made amends with the guy he slandered and accused.